Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Upside your head, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the sexiest of them all, it's Pete Donaldson.
I am human garbage.
Make it, everybody. It's not long until we get some more football.
Yes.
And we're going to preview it.
Yes, we are.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to predict exactly what's going to happen.
And we'll get it completely right, like every week.
That's right, apart from last week, of course.
But every previous week.
That's right. Well, that's not true, because we got some right.
Well, not everything.
I think somebody gave us a percentage, and I was not pleased with that percentage, I'd say.
Oh, is that right?
But we're going to do our best.
But your standards are very high.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, less than 100% he's not interested.
I don't actually agree with that, when it comes to Pete specifically.
Yeah, suddenly he's all right with the stats as well.
Yeah, he loves the stats.
Well, no, to be fair, he said he didn't like the stats.
Yeah. I was displeased with the stat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
Before we talk about the football, we start with the sad news of the passing of Graham Taylor.
Yeah, very sad. I was very sad to hear that earlier today. I mean, obviously, clearly a really accomplished manager and achieved a great deal in the game. I mean, the work he did at Watford particularly, moving up from the fourth division up to the top flight. I think he moved them from the fourth division to second in the top flight, I think, in 6 years.
Incredible.
And then people talk a lot about what Eddie Howe's done at Bournemouth, and rightly so, but Taylor did that a long, long time ago.
And also after that, he then took Villa out of the then second division, and they finished second
as well.
I mean, we were talking a little while ago about, you know, who's the English manager that's come closest to winning the Premier League, and obviously it was Ron Atkinson and Kevin Keegan. Very shortly before the formation of the Premier League, Taylor did the same twice.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And he rose to the top of his game and became England manager. Of course, it didn't work out as he would have hoped, and you know, there are a lot of reasons for that, and you know, we don't need to go into that here. But one of the things that struck me about Taylor is that I remember his management career, but I remember him a little bit more as a pundit and as someone who had like a great passion for the game and was actually quite knowledgeable.
Sort of statesman of the game.
I think so.
Well, a lot of younger listeners will only know him from like Five Live or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was one of the best, if not, I'm going to say one of the best core commentators, I think.
Very knowledgeable, very passionate about the game, and everyone seems to, I didn't meet the guy, but everyone was saying he's a lovely man to boot as well. And 72, that's no age these days, really. Very sad.
You look at the tributes of the pundit today, if you're a bit of a horrible person, just be a nice bloke, and everyone when you go,
that's right,
everyone will just shower you with compliments,
because
there's not a single dissenting voice this afternoon. What a sweet, gentle man who retained a level of enthusiasm into his twilight years
in being possibly England's most badly treated manager.
Oh, for sure.
And we've got some doozies.
I don't think it's a time or place to be going into how badly he was treated by the press, as was his predecessor, by the way, England. That's absolutely the case, and you know, it's very, very sad to see him.
And interestingly, just on the back of the point you were making there, Pete, about him being a decent bloke and his predecessor for the England job, Sir Bobby Robson, you know, when these characters they do pass away, sadly, often you get everybody saying you're wonderful people, blah, 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 blah. Well, as you said, just be a better person. Because and a lot of some people who say those things as well, you think,
I've said the same about you, Marcus, though, to be fair.
Well, I'm a nice person.
Of course, always.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to move on to the soccer balls.
Yes.
Spurs are up against West Brom. Often a tricky one for Spurs, this.
I think at first glance, people see this game and they think, that is a Spurs win. They say they just think, Spurs are a good team, they're in good form. Last time out, they beat Chelsea, and that was a fantastic result for them.
Mm-hmm.
West Brom are something of a bogey team for Spurs.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there'll be a little bit of the... I'm setting myself up for a massive fall here, as I tend to do every week. But I wonder if there's something of after the Lord Mayor show about this. And I did a little bit of research and looked into Spurs' home form over the last three or four seasons, which is obviously generally good, because they're a good team, and they have been more recently. But if you look at the teams that have beaten them at White Hart Lane in the league over the last four seasons, so last season, Newcastle, Leicester, Southampton, season before that, West Brom, Liverpool, Newcastle, Stoke, Aston Villa and Man City. Then West Ham, Newcastle, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal. And before that, Chelsea, Wigan and Fulham. It's not just the big teams that they are losing at home to. Now, more recently, as in...
Newcastle every season there?
Yeah, Newcastle 100%.
And Newcastle have definitely had the last laugh over Spurs.
I'd much rather be Newcastle.
5-1 on the last day of the season, once we've only been relegated.
And I think we all agree with that. But all I'm saying is that it's not a cut and dry game, this. And it'll be an interesting game to watch, obviously, as it is on TV as well. So
Spurs are unbeaten at home this season so far, though. But I think you kind of know what you're going to get with a West Brom away performance, don't you? They'll be, I think, very similar to the way they were at the Emirates, which will be just...
Make it hard.
Just an absolute brick wall. And you would look at Tottenham, as you say, and think they've probably got the energy to knock that wall down. But, you know, as you say, they've struggled against them before, and they are so disciplined, West Brom.
Spurs have won one of their last seven games against West Brom in the Premier League, I think.
That's a crazy...
Fantastic.
And also, Brunt is back for the Throstle Monsters.
The Throstles? Is that
Throstles.
What we call them now?
That's what up until the 80s they were. Then they became the Baggies. The Throstles. It's a bird. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It sounds like a weird cottage.
But to be fair, we used to call West Brom WBA, didn't we?
Yeah.
West Brom and Germany, and then they became West Brom. There's a little bit of a rebrand.
I like Baggies.
Baggies.
It's a headline writer's dream.
Do you know what? The last time that West Brom this season lost to a side which wasn't a superior side was on the 10th of September away to Bournemouth. Since then, they've lost to Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal and Manchester City. Obviously, that's in the league because the derby loss in the cup was very surprising. Mm. They don't lose to sides that really that often that are poorer than them. Mm. So they're hard to beat.
And you're suggesting Spurs are poorer than them?
No. What I'm suggesting is that since they got hammered by Manchester City 4-0 against the bigger sides, it's off the top of my head, it's only been by the odd goal, maybe apart from the Manchester United game when they scored late on. So I think Pulis... He's having a lot of joy, as we can see by the league table with West Brom this season. He's figuring things out. Mm. And it wouldn't be that much of a shock in this studio if West Brom got a point or something.
I would agree with that. I do think that that's absolutely the case. Purely because I think that Spurs have a track record, whether you like it or not, Spurs have a track record of slipping up occasionally, and it is only occasionally, at home against teams you would expect them to beat. Against teams that every fan who goes to White Hart Lane for that game is thinking, we should win here. Mm-hmm. We should win this game. They probably think, we're not going to because we're Spurs. Yeah. But they think they should win it. And so to that end, West Brom are also in a good period of form as well. They've got individuals performing well, like Matt Phillips, who Jim mentioned quite a few times. So the ingredients are there, shall we say.
Can somebody please say Spurs 4-0?
No.
Because we've said too much about West Brom.
I know.
Well, Dele Alli is in such good form that you wouldn't put it past him to have a big impact on the game. I wonder if Tony Pulis will start Saido Berahino just to try and sell him at the end of the game.
You still want this deal? That would jeopardise the whole deal, Jim, because then they'll see how he plays at the moment. Well,
maybe he'll play him just so he hopes he gets injured and they can't sell him so he can keep him in this
just as a little friend.
Nightmare that he's coming in.
But there is talk that West Brom are lining up a bid for Christian Benteke involving Saido as part of the deal.
You know, I love this because at first glance this looks quite dull, but this is amazing. This is Sam and Tony Pulis. Big Sam and Tony Pulis duking it out for a target man with Saido involved. So much drama. So much human drama.
I think that Benteke, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Benteke left Palace under Allardyce at some point, even though he's not been there very long and he costs a lot of money. I think Allardyce doesn't think he works hard enough. He's obviously big on the wage bill, Benteke, and I think he'd rather free him up to get other players.
Would he not work well with an Allardyce side? I mean, Allardyce likes
I don't
it.
Think he's hard working enough.
I think as well, it's an unusual one from Pulis's point of view, because with that in mind, and given the fee that Benteke would cost, if you factor all those things in, I don't think he's really an upgrade on Rondon. Unless he's sort of looking ahead to perhaps losing him.
Yeah. Heading their way up the table.
big man up top.
He's seen the headed goals that Rondon's got this season.
That's why I think it's partly a little bit surprising that Pulis is, if he is, I mean, this is all paper talk, but if he is being linked with him, because I don't think he's hard working enough consistently for Pulis either. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's a bit more nuanced than just saying, oh, he's a big man, he's a big target man, so managers like him. I think there's more to it than
but
that.
But he does score goals in the Premier League, and there's not that many, relatively speaking.
Benteke is a better player than that as well. He's, you know, it's not like he's, you know, a complete donkey with the ball at his feet.
No, I don't think he is.
No one's saying that. And Big Sam, of course, is up against another former club of his, West Ham, away the Palace go to the London Stadium. Sammy Lee's joined him in his coaching staff. Nice.
Get in the band.
Lovely.
Absolutely. It's nice to see them again, together again. And But Zaha won't be there for Palace.
No, he's in the African Cup of Nations. He's never... on Saturday, doesn't
he? It's a great tournament. We love
fun,
it.
Isn't it?
We really do love it. He set up a goal in his debut against Sweden. His England debut was against Sweden as well, I think.
Oh, what was that booming?
That was me whacking my black and white Newcastle United scarf against the microphone, if you must know. Luke, did you want to stop the show for that?
No, I don't. Good. I would very much like to inform listeners that you are absolutely a man who wears a scarf indoors. Yeah. They had their suspicions. Yeah. Now they've been confirmed.
Never a cravat.
And, like, no. The air conditioning's on as well. It's very temperate in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Marcus likes it real cool in here.
It's because I'm real hot.
And hairy. Let's face it, hairy.
Aren't we all, though, in a way, Peter?
Well, listen, Crystal Palace are 2-1 to beat West Ham away from home, just to come in that, with Bet365. So £10 on them will return you £30, including your stake. It's a fascinating game because of the subtext, and we love a subtext on the show. What I wanted to say, speaking of that, is Dimitri Payet looking like he's refusing to play for West Ham and looking like he's being moved on.
It's a standoff. It is. Imagine a standoff, what a Karen Brady tip makes of that. And horse stand being off
and we
in the stadium.
And we all know how those turn out in terms of player power. But what I did notice is that the adult white We've Got Payet t-shirts in the West Ham store are, I've been reduced from £20 to
£5.
£5?
Oh, that's
now
a dig
is, now is the time to move, because you never know, he might stay. Yeah. He might stay.
Short the stock.
If he stays, you've made £15 there. Yeah. You've made £15.
And also, as well, if he leaves at the end of the window, there's a couple of weeks maybe left.
Yeah, but apparently Payet's motivation is that his family have not settled in London. He's got a wife and three children. And apparently
no, it isn't,
Jimmy.
It's because West Ham are rubbish at
Well,
he was sold the West Ham dream.
That goes without saying.
He is not beneath blaming his family for his own football.
Blaming his family. My idiot children. My moron young children. Can't even speak. They're so stupid. Want me to go back to France.
Jim Campbell.
You know who wants
him
back?
I never say Jim Campbell in anger, but Jim Campbell.
But you know Marseille want him back. That club is an absolute ramble graveyard. This is the players they've got there. Florian Thauvin.
Nice.
Bafétimbi Gomis is there.
Nice.
Rod Fanny's there.
Oh, enemy of football.
Lassana Diarra. He's
Ooh,
there.
God.
Remy Cabaya's there. Cabaya, sorry.
Last year, I played for Portsmouth.
He did, yeah.
And then went to Real Madrid.
Played
for Arsenal. And he
played for a bunch of players.
Real Madrid, Jim.
And yeah. Clinton Ng is there on loan from Spurs as well. Yeah. Wow.
You will always make your money back with Marseille. You will always make your money back.
Is Fabian Barthez still in goal?
No, sure.
And is Bordel still playing on the wing?
Bordel's on the wing, yeah. But you know,
Jimmy Bullard's there as well.
What, Joey Barton?
One thing I forgot to say about the old Palace situation with Benteke, now we're talking about that game, is another reason I think Allardyce wants to move him on is because he's got Kevin Nolan and El Hasjouf in his sights. I'll get them both for that.
That's great.
I mean, Payet, he wasn't really given that much of an outlet. There's nobody up top for West Ham, and that's the problem. So
Payet's one of those rare... It's only my observation, and obviously there's been other problems at West Ham off the pitch, with the stadium and all that other stuff. But I think Payet's one of those players where he's so inspirational because he's so talented. Mm-hmm. He lifts the rest of the team. Mm, yeah. Now, it's not an excuse for those other players not to be performing, but it's no coincidence that Payet has been... he's probably still being one of their better attacking players, but he's just been so inconsistent, and he can't lift the team, and the team can't go rally around him because they don't know what he's going to do. And if you look at, he came on when they were about 4-0 down against Man City in the Cup. Mm-hmm. He looked like he didn't want to be there. There's been occasions there where he's not just played badly; he's looked like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah,
and that's worrying.
But I think we look at West Ham from last season; they did overachieve, and Everyone was saying, they want to keep these players together, and the players want to stay because they want to play in a new stadium. They see it as an exciting new chapter for the club, but it just hasn't worked out that way, has it?
The atmosphere
in the stadium is something I guess they probably couldn't have quite predicted. I think a big part of it's that all of those motivations to stay at the beginning have evaporated, and the family situation is obviously a difficult one.
But the thing with Payet and the family thing, and I don't mean to be disrespectful because I don't know his situation or his family.
And Jim's already done enough.
Yeah. I think Jim was probably being sarcastic in his defence. But the thing
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, but that's no excuse to refuse to play.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are still being paid. You are still an employee of that club.
What does it say to the clubs that you're hawking yourself around to? I know he very specifically wants to go to Marseille, but we do see players do this quite a lot, and it just...
Mate, he is brilliant, though, isn't he? He is bloody brilliant.
On his day, he's fantastic.
I think for Payet, he had a wonderful season, of course, last year. He was one of the best players in the Premier League. He then went to play for France in the Euros. They got to the final, and he had a reasonably decent tournament. I think he scored the great goal in the opening game. It was a wonderful time for Butt, and he chose to stay on at West Ham because, you know, how good he'd played with them, the supporters loved him, and there was a new stadium coming, and he's clearly gone there, and it's just not worked out.
Well, they didn't sign the players to go around him. I mean, they're making derisory offers for Sunderland players. Right. I mean, this isn't...
Well, presumably West Ham will be happy to accept a £3 million bid for him.
Yeah, exactly.
By their own standards.
What would you like that?
With Robert Snodgrass.
I mean, they'd probably take that, given that Payet's refusing to play. I'm not sure Payet would take that, by the way. Mm. But I think West Ham probably would at this point. If you've got a player who's refusing to play for your team, and you can't make... I just don't think that you can make excuses for him when he goes to those sort of measures.
No, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying to try and get inside his head. If you look at all that going on, he thinks to himself, I'm 29, is he 29?
He's certainly no younger than that.
And he thinks to himself, you know, I might only have a few years left. I would like to go back to Marseille. It's a club I know very well, and then they'd love me there, and so on and so forth. Try and get them in the Champions League, or whatever it may be, his motivations.
And then go to China.
Enjoy
settling there, kids.
On the stadium, in the international school.
I think that's what he's probably thinking, and he's thinking, oh, sod this. But that's poor. That's very unprofessional if it is.
On the stadium thing, and it's not worked out, everyone would have hoped. I do take all those points, and Pete makes the points about not signing players. They've only been in the new stadium for like 6 months.
Well, you know,
what sort of message does that send out for the club as a whole entity when they say, well, the best player, because 6 months hasn't quite gone as he expects, he's not going to play anymore? it's mad. Yeah. You can't live your life by any of those standards.
I agree. I guess one step further from that is them turning up to training and they can't train because Payet's nicked all the balls.
Yeah.
He's taken them all home.
I'm not happy.
If I'm not playing,
I'm happy,
no one
is. Yeah, quite.
Right, ridiculous. Wouldn't happen under Big Sam.
Would
it? I'm sure there's maybe examples. He's trying to get Carl Jenkinson in.
Carl Jenkinson's a funny one. He reminds me of when I sometimes have dreams that I play for Arsenal, and it starts off well, and then I realise I am quite profoundly not a footballer, and I'm very quickly about to get found out. And he's very much a confidence player. Sometimes he looks really good, but when his confidence is low, he looks like he thinks he shouldn't be there. You know,
he's definitely got the manner of someone that makes him quite slopey-shouldered. I mean, to call back to the last show, I would put him in the ever-burgeoning, growing list of players that Arsenal Wenger has not improved.
Well, we've had a bit of a response.
Haven't we just?
Yeah. I've crunched the numbers, and I've crunched the numbers. I've crunched them.
It's like
crunching them, but it's a bit more sort of
gritty.
And the only players I can think of that Wenger has improved over the last 5 years...
Disclaimer, that Luke can think of.
It's me. It's not your guys' opinion, I understand that. Is Laurent Koscielny, Nacho Monreal, and Hector Bellerin.
Olivier Giroud is in there. He's far better player than he was when he arrived.
Really?
Yeah, hugely so.
Right. He had no legs when he appeared.
even if I give you that, I would say that every single British player that he signed has gone backwards.
All right, well, enjoy your time, Coyne Brown of Hednesford.
Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, come on. Aaron Ramsey going backwards?
Well, Aaron Ramsey had a fantastic season a couple of years ago, and he's certainly not at those heights at the moment. I mean, it's not like he's in particularly bad form. But
gone backwards to the point of where the generally accepted rule of how good they could be.
Okay.
So I've got every single, without exception, Aaron Ramsey, Jack Wilshere, Theo Walcott, Carl Jenkins, and Kieran Gibbs. Yeah, but it's so inconsistent. Inconsistent. He's been there 10 years now.
I don't think anyone can do anything about that. Well, I think that's just part of Theo Walcott's game, isn't it?
I'd say the manager could have a fair go.
Yeah. but I think there are certain players. I mean, obviously, he's the one man who does have to have a go. I think some people are sort of beyond...
Did I get to Kieran Gibbs? I'd say shame enough.
Yeah, but Kieran Gibbs has been kept out of the team by the improvement of Nacho Monreal. So, you know, you can't have everything.
We can all make excuses as to why these haven't happened.
Emmanuel Frimpong.
Anyway, I'm going to get Arsenal tweets again. I've just thought I'll take it head on, grab the ball.
I want everyone to know he's grinning.
I don't mind.
Of course he is.
Wait, listen, the truth hurts.
Well, Arsenal, will they improve Coyne Bramall? They've just signed from non-league Hednesford Town.
That's salve to the Arsenal fans' wounds, isn't it? Have you heard of Hednesford Town?
The idea, he's not one for now, is he?
No.
Like, it's not.
He's 20. He's 20.
Very much like Theo Walcott.
It's a story because he's been signed from non-league quite late for a footballer. It's a story.
But if you're signing, just because you're not signing a sort of superstar that goes straight into the team doesn't mean that you shouldn't be signing players elsewhere.
Jim, think about this. If we really go to town on him now, he's almost certainly going to win the Ballon d'Or.
The thing is, though, what I like about it, Jim, is Arsene Wenger does this. He'll sign sign like a couple of sort of mid-range players, and then he'll sign like a young French kid.
Yaya Sanogo, and
people will go,
improved.
Oh, well, you know, Yaya Sanogo, there's always him.
Just want to let you guys know while we're on this, Yaya Sanogo's Twitter handle is Sanogol.
Should have thought about that. And when was the last time he scored a goal? It should just be a countdown.
I don't even know where he's on loan.
It should be a timer going up. And it resets again when he scores.
What I would say is that this coin chap, he got made redundant from Bentley just before Christmas.
Yes.
So he's lost his employee discount.
David Bentley.
And then he gets given a load of money.
Yeah.
So he can't buy himself a Bentley. He's damned if he does and he's damned if he isn't.
Well, obviously he's come out of non-league, which makes me remember that I would really like to dip into the timeline where Jamie Vardy actually did sign for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird to think that Vardy could be an Arsenal player right now?
For the record, though, Jim, I'm not judging any way Coen Bramwell. I've never seen him play. I'm sure there are players that slip through the net.
Yeah.
I've got plenty to be getting on with all the other Arsenal players.
Yeah. And he plays at left back. And they've always had trouble there, so it's fine.
Agree?
And when Wenger can always pull Christopher Ray out of the cupboard or something like that. You know, there's plenty in there.
It's open season on Wenger. Let's leave it there.
Ozil, he said that he's not going to sign a new deal until Wenger's contract is secured.
I think that's going to be fairly common.
I read that, Jim, and again, this is me having another dig at Arsenal. I read that as like, Arsenal Wenger lets me do whatever I want. I don't want to sign unless he's signing. Like when Zaha went to United and time he turned up, Ferguson had long gone.
Yeah.
He had no chance of making a future there.
I think that's Ozil going, Wenger's lost it a bit and I don't think he's going to get a new deal. So, this is my get-out clause. Yeah. Literal get-out clause.
You know what this is? You know when you're at school and there's a kid who always talks about sex in really puerile terms and he turns out to be the biggest virgin around?
No, I
can you stop pointing at me, please?
No. Rude. Pointing at Portsmouth FC.
Come on.
That is...
We won the FA Cup. Beat Aaron Ramsey in the final. Get in there.
You won the FA Cup on holiday at the caravan site and no one can see the cup.
Oi, they can see it written in the history books.
Yeah. My cup goes to another school.
Exactly. Do they have to share the cup?
Yeah, they have
to go around. But Arsenal are away to Swansea.
They are. Yeah,
they're away to Paul Clement and Claude Makélélé Swansea.
He should be called Paul Clement now.
He should.
Yeah. Clement.
And when he starts doing badly, which I think he might do, he should be called Paul Inclement.
Nice.
Yeah. So Claude Makélélé and he go back, don't they? Because Clement was a coach at Chelsea when he was there.
I imagine Clement's worked with every good player ever.
Well, apparently
the last 10 years at least. Yeah,
yeah. Apparently this came about because Makélélé just rang him up and said, "Can I join Swansea?" And he was like, "Yeah, brilliant."
Shove that up your ass, Paul Merson. I've got Makélélé. Me, Makélélé's ringing me. He doesn't even know who you are.
He invented his own role.
Call me a PE teacher now. I've got Claude Makélélé in the car.
There were no defensive midfielders until Sky Sports found that Claude Makélélé was an underrated. Yeah.
You feel like he could do a job for them still.
He probably could.
Come on, everybody's been saying that on social media.
That Makélélé can still do a job for them?
Yeah, probably.
I reckon he probably could.
But they haven't said that he's the most underrated assistant coach ever.
No.
Arsenal surely should win that one, Jim.
Yeah, we say that about Arsenal and Swansea all the time, and then we don't know.
Well, Swansea are 6-1. We bet 365 to upset the North Londoners and record the wins. £10 will return £70, including stake.
Lovely. Paul Clement.
More Premier League stuff to talk about after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody.
Before we move on, I'm sure Arsene Wenger can improve a lot of Swansea players this weekend.
You betch.
Remember, Pete loves Arsenal as well.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot.
Burnley versus Southampton. The Saints, hey, were in great form against Liverpool in the League Cup. Mm,
they were fantastic. They were really, really good.
1-0 win possibly should have been more.
It should have been more, but they needed that, didn't they? Because they'd lost 3 on the bounce in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting back into form is absolutely crucial for them. This is a tough one, though, isn't it?
I was impressed with them against Liverpool. I thought they'd lost 3 on the row, in a row, I think, in the league.
Yeah.
And they had their problems in the FA Cup as well, but I thought against Liverpool they were fantastic. And you know, the way that the football is and the way that the size of the club at Liverpool are, the headlines after a game like that are always going to be Liverpool were sort of strangely listless and they played badly, which they did, by the way. And that was also strange because I wasn't expecting a reaction after Plymouth. But Southampton were very good. I mean, they stopped them playing. They weren't intimidated by their sort of attacking threat. They should have. I mean, they might come to regret not being two or three up against
I think they should have scored. I like just seeing Jamie Carragher tweeting for F's sake, get out there with a 1-0 loss.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely right. Yeah. It got me thinking a bit about Jordan Henderson and Sadio Mane.
Both
obviously really good players, but I think Henderson was absent for the Plymouth game and absent again against Southampton. Mm-hmm. And he's not been absent an awful lot this season. And he's an underrated player as far as he transitioned to attack really quickly. He moves the ball quick. When he's at his best, just taking one or two touches and bringing everything together, he's a fantastic player, and they really miss him. And they also miss Mane stretching teams as well. Yeah. Mane's a dangerous forward as far as he scores like different types of goals, very quick and strong. And I think they sort of miss him as well because Sturridge isn't hitting any sort of consistency.
No, he's not.
Although Sturridge has done all right in the League Cup so far this season, but he just couldn't get anything going against
Southampton. True enough. Obviously, we'll talk more about Liverpool with the fixture coming up against Manchester United. Yeah. But it was good that Redmond got a goal for Southampton.
Yeah.
Because
should have had a hat-trick.
Well, that sort of feeds into what I was about to say, that his end product is often not the best. You know, he's a decent attacking player, obviously, can be quite creative from time to time. He's one of those players where you look at him and you think, you've got the raw materials, but sometimes his stats don't back that up so much. I haven't checked them.
He's still got a big future ahead of him.
Oh, of course he does. No, he's an excellent young player as well, and he's made the transition.
Did he come up with Norwich when they were promoted?
Yes, he did.
He looked quite busy early in that season.
I think he might have been involved in the majority of the good things they did. I know that's probably glossing over it a bit.
But at the start of the season, I remember him sort of catching the eye a little bit, and so he's got a future ahead of him for sure.
No, definitely. But I think his end product, often with those type of sort of tricky wingers, could be a little bit better. Perhaps be a bit more direct. You know what I mean? Like what Guardiola told Sterling to be.
On the Southampton thing, I also think that Claude Puel's done a reasonable job. I know they're coming off the back of a bit of a mini slump and stuff, but the job he's got at Southampton is like it comes with its own pressure because Southampton has set up with a philosophy and they know they're going to turn over managers and managers are going to move on, as we've seen in the past, most recently with Koeman. And the manager who comes in is under pressure to fit in with that philosophy and keep them ticking over and keep them as an established Premier League club.
It's also, sorry to cut in, but it's a strange one in that sort of the minimum expectation is overachievement. Does that make sense?
I
know what you mean.
I sort of know what you mean, but I mean, Southampton have traditionally been a Premier League team, and I had a difficult time of it when they went down to the third tier and all that. But I think now the manager is. The point I'm trying to make is the manager is under so much pressure to slot into that philosophy that they've got from top to bottom in that club, bringing young players through and all that other stuff. Just to do well, to maintain the equilibrium, to maintain the status quo, is an achievement in itself, I think.
It is.
So, I mean, like I say, he's under a different type of pressure than some other managers.
There is a sort of glass ceiling with a club like Southampton, isn't there? Because
with a lot of them, Stoke as well is another one we talked about last time out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And with Southampton, it is difficult because when Koeman leaves and goes to Everton. They've got a bit more of a history and tradition than Southampton. I mean, Southampton have got a great history and tradition themselves. But it is difficult. You know, if Koeman went to an Arsenal or a Manchester United, you could sort of see, oh, fair enough. But when he does go to Everton, it must be a bit of a signal for the Southampton fans.
Yeah, there's still a glass ceiling. It's just slightly higher.
But Everton have had some investment fairly recently. And I think, you know, even the most ardent of Southampton fans would agree that Everton are a bigger club than Southampton.
I think Koeman's a little bit annoyed the lack of investment in the squad. They just confirmed
Schneidlin today. £22 million, a lot of money. They got another guy in the pipeline. They've made some signs, to be fair. But I was going to say on the Stoke thing, because you talked about a glass ceiling and that type of club. The Stoke thing, I said last time out, oh, why don't Stoke go for the FA Cup? And I got a load of tweets from Stoke fans going, we did. We played our best team. We're just terrible. So, apologies if I missed that one.
I got a lovely tweet from somebody saying that he was listening to some podcasts a while ago, like 5 or 6 years ago or something. And I said about Jordan Shaqiri, you know, if he doesn't knuckle down and utilise his talents, blah, 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 he probably end up playing somewhere like Bolton.
I was going to say that speaking of Southampton in the EFL Cup, they are 9-2 with Bet365 to win that this season, which is £10 returns £55 including stake. And just on the Burnley thing, I mean, Southampton, if you want to get out of a slump, going away to Burnley is probably one of the toughest games you're going to get outside of those big teams. And it's very hard to say anything new about Burnley because you sort of know what you're going to get. They're terrible away, they can't score, they're really, really tough to beat at home. And if anything keeps them in the Premier League this season, it's going to be that. So not an easy assignment for Southampton this weekend.
No, certainly not. Leicester at home to Chelsea. Can they do what they did against Manchester City or Leicester? Because they will be under the cosh against Chelsea, yeah. The league leaders.
Do you think Chelsea will be... I mean, Conte will surely be looking for a reaction.
Yeah, of course, yeah, off the back of the
from John
Eagles.
Terry, who will definitely play.
Yeah. Did you read that story
Vardy
about...
Vardy would love that, wouldn't he?
Did you read that story about... Oh, that'd be brilliant. He'd be suspended, though, won't he, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, right,
but,
yeah.
Did you read that story about Conte getting everyone in the club Christmas presents? Like, every single member of staff at the club apparently got a Christmas... Whether it be a canteen
chocolate
or a tea. They got... Yeah, from Rawlinson's. No, apparently they got a present. So I only read this. I haven't substantiated it, but they got a present, an individual letter written by Antonio Conte, with I think some sort of Shakespearean quote at the end of it.
Okay,
so nice to know that Conte is exactly like you imagine him.
Well, we said about Conte turning up at one of the staff parties. Normally, right. There's like a video message to the staff, and he was there and stayed for quite a bit. Didn't turn up and go, all right, everybody, you know. Mm. So he likes that thorough approach to a club. You probably did that a lot at Juventus, where every little detail, try and make everybody in the whole place feel great.
Mm. Would it be sickening to see? N'Golo Kante sort of tearing it up at the Casey Stadium.
Yeah, they haven't thought about that. It's going to be tough, isn't it? Because they're without Mahrez, Slimani,
the King Power Stadium, not the Casey Stadium, the King Power Stadium. Sorry.
Yeah, they were without Mahrez, Slimani, and Amati because they're all off at the African Nations. Yeah. So that is going to be that's a huge loss for Leicester, isn't it? I think going back to what you said about the comparisons with the City game, I think Chelsea are just slicker, aren't they? And they're just a better team than City this season, very very clearly. I think Leicester are going to struggle with
this. I don't get the impression Chelsea can be got at as much as City can at the back. But Eden Hazard is 9-2 with Bet365 to be the first goal scorer in this game. So £10 returns £55, including stake.
Go on, Jim.
I was just going to point out Chelsea have loaned out 3 players today.
Have they? That's a daily rate, Jeremy.
Yeah, pretty much. I think if you count a couple just before the deadline, the window opened in January, I think it's 8 players they've loaned out.
They must make more money from
end of December.
They must make more money from player hire than actual gate receipts.
Yeah.
They must do.
Yeah,
incredible.
I think they've got 38 players out on loan in total now. I don't think they would take a huge amount of wage contributions.
No,
I don't think they do. I think it's part of their strategy. They just use it as development.
Right, okay.
Are they running a temp agency on the slide?
It just seems like when you hire a camera from like a sawhorn building.
If we did a bit of investigation and found out that none of them were actually playing football. Like one of them was like a window cleaner, and the other one's doing like car washing.
Yeah. Sorting out those files that really need arranging.
Yeah.
That would go. But I was just going to say before we move on from that one with Leicester, nothing else seems to be working. Maybe what they need is some of their bigger players like Mahrez to come out and Ranieri to think, right, almost a case of unofficially, we're not the champions anymore. Let's go back to a bit of a siege mentality. Let's defend to the hilt and let's try and nick something, because trying to play a bit of expansive football, whatever they're trying, is just not really working.
Well, try and nick something. Nick a player.
They're not bothered losing them.
From Chelsea, yeah.
Can we get a day loan?
You mean sort of how Leicester changed, the style they changed into towards the back end of last season?
Because
they did do that. They sort of started. Yeah,
they did, but that was to get the... That was
protecting 1-0 leads, to be fair.
I was going to say, because they would go at teams. Because teams would defend, and then they would get the goal somewhere.
But they went through a phase of... they started the season, from my memory, they started the season very, very openly.
Quite
swashbuckling. And then towards the end, they really sort of just
they were
tried
after,
to get over the line.
They were after 1-0, yeah.
I'll take your point. I don't think people are going to set up against Leicester now as they would have done then, because people don't respect Leicester as a team as much now, do they?
I think they need to mix it up.
Yeah, quite.
The champions. Manchester United are hosting Liverpool. It's the big one.
Red Sunday.
It is indeed. Manchester United obviously got a decent win against Hull in the League Cup. A 2-0 win at home is a pretty good score.
I didn't see that game. I did watch the Southampton-Liverpool game, but I didn't see that game. But Man United are in excellent shape. They're the form team in the Premier League, basically, at the moment. They've won their last 6, haven't they?
I think they might. Yeah. Spurs have won their last 5. So
I can't think about this game without thinking about when Liverpool went to Old Trafford. I think it was under Moyes. And they won 3-0, and they absolutely battered them.
Oh, it was embarrassing.
And Liverpool got 3 penalties, and Gerrard scored 2, and Suarez scored the other one, and they won 3-0. Mm-hmm. That for me, as much as you know, United fans, I don't get annoyed about digging out United fans, because they've had it their way for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, for me, is a classic Man United-Liverpool game. That is a classic game in a classic fixture in the Premier League era.
What chance? Well,
and the 4-1, when Torres... took Vidic apart as well.
Vidic went through a phase of getting sent off 3 times in a row against Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wonderful. What
not
were you
there,
say,
not there anymore, of course.
I was going to say, you know, what chance Wayne Rooney to break Bobby Charlton's record at Old Trafford against Liverpool? Could you imagine it?
That would be wonderful for him.
Well, it'd be about time. It's not all about Wayne Rooney. Yes, it would be good, but it's about time.
No, but, you know, he's just equaled it. What better fixture for him to actually do it in terms of the romance of it all?
Imagine if he came out and just went, I haven't been bothering scoring. I've been waiting for this game.
Don't have a go at him for about to be breaking the club scoring record.
Wayne Rooney is, as I read someone say this a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, I think, and it was that Wayne Rooney's probably, for the things he's achieved, he's probably underrated in his own country in his own time. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, he's capable of putting in the old stinking performance, and his form has been nowhere near as good as it has been in his pomp. But when we look back on Wayne Rooney's career, I think we'll be pretty respectful of the things he's achieved, both at club and international level.
But not now. Not right now.
No.
He's still a silly potato man.
I want to have a cheap dig at him, so I will. Yeah, right? Okay. Simple as that.
It looks like, it has happened that Fellaini's got an extra year on his Manchester United contract, which is good news all round.
Next to Zlatan. Everyone's celebrating because Zlatan's got an extra year. Shall we take Fellaini as well for another year?
Fellaini makes me feel inadequate as a football podcaster because I still don't know what type of player he is. Yeah. I feel like I should know by now because he's been in the Premier League since its inception. Yeah.
Well, I remember the best.
He's a referee rouser.
I'd
go with Hederer.
Hederer.
I remember the role he played.
He's Roger Hederer.
I remember the role he played at Everton, but yeah, it is a bit difficult. But do you think at Manchester United, they said to whoever sorts out the contracts and all that kind of stuff, it's like, give the big guy another year.
Come on.
Thinking it was Ibrahimovic. He was like, no, they're wrong. Big guy. Has he signed it? Has it the ink dried? Brilliant. Yeah, nice one.
Or do you reckon he relaxed his hair and put it into his Latin ponytail? As Latin.
Maybe.
Just taking it back to the game itself, as I mentioned earlier about Henderson, I think he's possibly doubtful for this one, isn't he? I think he's trying to shake off a heel injury, so I'm not sure if he's going to be fit, which is going to be a big loss for Liverpool, actually.
Yeah, I wonder if Liverpool are feeling the effects of Gegenpress plus Christmas, because they do look a bit leggy, don't they?
We're getting too
much pressing.
Yeah, I think Zlatan might be a doubt as well. He's been missing training through an illness, apparently.
I think he will be fit.
Oh, okay. He has been ill, though.
I mean available rather than fit. He's always fit, isn't he?
Maniac. Has Emre Can recovered from his wet willy?
Oh, no, I heard about this.
It's going to get him a cold, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why it's called a wet willy. Surely it's a wet ear. But anyway.
I'd rather have a broken leg than a wet willy.
Just horrible, isn't it? But it's probably old school. It's probably something that Paul Gascoigne would do. Yeah. Go down the legs, you're going to get wet willy, mate.
Yeah.
Do you remember when people...
Put your wet finger in his ear.
There was a phase, I think it was around El Hajjouf's career. I don't know why El Hajjouf's getting so many mentions today, but around when El Hajjouf was playing, obviously he went through a phase of spitting at people.
Yeah. When you say a phase, did he, what, twice?
That's enough.
That's
very much more than once. Don't do that again.
Unless it's Mario Balotelli's contract, that's too many.
That is too many.
The point I wanted to make was that people, obviously spitting is disgusting. Spitting in someone's face is disgusting.
It's the worst thing to do in football. You can two-foot someone in the face and kill them. But
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Pundits went way over the top. They started saying, it got to the point where they were saying, I'd rather you nuclear bomb my entire family than spat in my face.
Well,
you wouldn't rather that.
As well, El Hajjouf once broke a man's leg and said fuck you and fuck your leg.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was Jamie Mackie. Yeah. You shouldn't laugh. Jamie Mackie, the new Marcus Speller, remember?
Yeah, exactly, Jim.
Brought in as a replacement at Leatherhead Reserves for Marcus Speller, the very same.
By the way, I became too old because I was unreplaceable.
Yeah.
And who else would have sat on that bit of the bench?
No, exactly.
Other than me.
Exactly.
He didn't do
well, listen, if Mackie had stayed on that bench, he wouldn't have got a broken leg from El Hajjouf.
He wouldn't have become a professional footballer.
So I can't remember the original point about spitting.
Don't do it.
What am I going to do with now, then?
No, you can't.
That is true. If you said, you know, I'm going to take an axe to an orphanage or something.
Yeah.
You know, that would be worse.
Did you spit while you're doing it? Did you spit while you're doing
exactly.
it? No, in which case it's bad, but I'd rather you did that than spat.
Can we explore Marcus Speller, man of God's idea of attacking an orphanage with an axe?
The first thing that comes into your head?
Are we including the children in this or just the building?
It takes so long.
A nuclear bomb, let that one go.
Yeah, but the thing with a nuclear bomb is it's just over, isn't it?
But for everyone.
Yeah.
More people. Marcus, I think everyone in this room knows I've got a bit of the dictator about me. Don't worry about that.
Well,
it's not out of form for me to say that sort of stuff.
Can we talk about your court on the podcast?
Yeah.
Your beloved LL court.
Oh yeah, but well, listen, for the listeners'
benefit, you will explain.
Yeah, I will, because you're talking about LL Bean, which is a brand that I particularly like to wear.
Yep. The president-elect has got involved and said he also endorses that particular clothing choice.
Well, no, what actually happened was one of the owners of LL Bean was outed, or publicly, or admitted, I suppose, if that's the right word, that she funded Trump and his campaign. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would say about that is there are like 55 owners of LL Bean.
That's literally what their PR line was.
It's only one.
You're
only
such a company
person.
Man.
Yeah,
disgusting.
You paid for Trump.
Yeah, in
I'm
a
not
way.
Talking to you. Fake news.
But you know what LL Bean do? They lifetime guarantee everything. So bear that in mind.
What, Trump's in forever?
When Trump's long gone, I'll be taking that coat back and getting a replacement free of charge.
Will it look exactly the same? It'll be hopelessly out of fashion if indeed it ever was.
If you are listening, I'll be, do get in touch.
Very much so. Let's end on a... before we go to...
I wanted to give you an odds, because the draw in this game between Liverpool and Man United with Bet365 is 12-5. So £10 returns £34, including stake.
Ooh, I fancy that. Let's go to Japan.
Whoa!
I'm pointing at you, Pete.
All right.
Because King Kazu has got himself a new deal.
How is this man still getting...
49-year-old. Marcus Kazu Yoshimura.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Ramble favourite, isn't he? Mm.
He's a favourite, surely.
I'm surprised he's not a Marseille.
Well, we don't
he's
know
he's calling China every day. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, he's right next door and he can't get moved to China.
I'll take 50 grand a week. That's all I want.
This man has had a wonderful career. I think he played in Brazil for a bit. He was the first Japanese player, I think, to play in Serie A. I played for Genoa. He's played all over the gaff, and he's still playing in second tier Japanese football for Yokohama FC. He will turn 50 on the 26th of Feb, which is just as the new J2 league is kicking off.
Which is the second
the
season.
Right.
So good.
Yeah.
Amazing effort.
Absolutely.
He's a forward as well, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Well, he's not a wing back, is he?
We've seen it. Well, there is a precedent set with that with Kanu. I've seen Kanu play up front and he has not moved a muscle. it's like Alvaro Negredo when he's not playing like Old Trafford. That's basically what this guy's like.
Maybe Kanu thought that footballers, eyesight is based on movement.
Yeah, so they can't just stay where you are. But surely he wants his teammates to see him.
Well, I don't think we can second guess at what Kanu wants.
No, definitely not.
I think he misinterpreted that as they can see you, but they're not bothered about you.
No, yeah.
Just let him do what he wants.
It's just a deflection.
But the thing is, but the thing is with King Kazu, he's great in the air.
I like that he's called King Kazu.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's good at getting his head on the ball. So that's always going to be. He's always going to be that height.
I've got. Yeah, he's only short. Well, people do get short.
Only slightly.
The thing that really warmed my cockles over the last couple of days when it comes to football is I was lucky enough to see the shortlist for the England under 21 manager. New England under 21.
It's very overwhelming, isn't it? Yeah.
I saw this as well.
I got a tear in my eye.
For those of you who haven't seen or heard it, I'll give you a rundown.
I'd like Marco Silva to get the job.
Yeah, Paul Ince, Stuart Pearce,
oh God,
Steve Cotterill, and A.D. Boothroyd.
Now that is, well, there will be an upset.
And they say English managers don't get a chance.
I mean, you look at who got the main job, and then you go, well, there's got to be, that's the crust on a, shall we talk about scabs again? No. That's the crust on a big crappy pie, isn't it, really?
Is there blood in a scab?
Do you know what, Marcus? My one regret, actually, I have many regrets from last show.
Right.
The one main one was not going in harder on you on the scab thing. Thinking about what I was going to say next.
I think it's a bit bloody rich to do this now. All I'm saying, Luke Moore.
Bloody rich or a bit skin selling?
I'm just saying that it's not all about the blood. It's about skin cells, which get there.
Are you just repeating what you said?
Yeah, I'm doubling down. Let's double down, come on.
That's what I was going to say. You already doubled down, because not only were you wrong, you thought, right, I'm firing up Twitter. I'm unequivocally going into bat about this.
Tuesday's my Twitter day.
I think your first tweet was a doctor saying you're wrong. And then you're on Wikipedia, screenshot all over the gap. It was an absolute car crash.
Yeah, the first line of the Wikipedia says, it's all about blood.
Yeah, I know.
My point was that it wasn't all blood that just dries. I was basically questioning Marcus's medical training. I wasn't questioning mine. I wasn't putting out my own knowledge. I was questioning Marcus's.
No, you were looking for knowledge and putting it out there and trying to pass it. I've been there, mate. Don't worry about that.
I love how you're blaming me for you getting
this
wrong.
Do you want
wrong?
A bloody scab in a minute?
Pete, what you should have done, just dusted yourself down, got on with it, fought another day. Then you went into bat, didn't you?
I'm picking
you
my own
bat.
Scabs. I'm a picker.
You're up at
God
4 in the morning giving yourself scabs and putting it under a microscope to prove that you were right. Although it's not completely beyond the realms of possibility. Your physiology is completely different to every human being.
Yeah, that's true. Can I just say on those the England under 21s, you know, Pearce has had the job before, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
So
he had it for a very long time.
He did. A.D. Boothroyd, that's not a bad one. But I think Boothroyd is since he's managed to under, I think he's done the under 20, under 20s maybe.
He's certainly been around the young.
And I think Boothroyd, from what I know, is not a bad one. But
Marcus, here's my problem with it. My problem with it is
Steve Cottrell. He's
one of the problems. But my problem with it is that I think that these guys, and Stuart Pearce is definitely guilty of this, he'll point to his record of getting them to a final, getting them to here, and it's not about that.
No,
it's not about that. Those under 21 players should be in that setup for experience, to learn their trade, to be learning under a really good, really well qualified coach who's going to teach them things.
Modern coach as well. It's got modern methods, and it sets them a good stead for their future careers as well. And it's not just about the England setup most 100%. Of the time. As well.
And I know I speak from within a massive glass house because I've never achieved anything in my life football wise. But no, to be perfectly frank, at the end of the current squad of under 21 players' career, if they win an under 21 tournament, no one is going to care. Mm. So they need to be preparing themselves for senior football. That's what the job's for. So to that end, it might be worth giving it to Boothroyd because he's got experience working with young players.
It's almost like a finishing school, isn't it, in a way?
Should
if
be.
You think, if you're good enough to play for your country at that level, then it should be that extra bit of coaching, as you say, that is forward thinking and is modern, and you know, it's just going to get your head right for the rigours of being an international.
There are 23-year-old players who are playing in League Two now that were in the England setup.
I'm sure
they're like at that age.
I think, just to cover that in a little bit, what I would say, my theory around that is that England generally do perform fairly well at a lot of age group levels. Mm. But my opinion on that is that they are so taught about physicality that they're able to almost bully opposition. And then when they get to senior level, they haven't got enough nous. They've not got enough technical ability. They've not got enough cuteness about them. Yeah. All they know is to, and we've seen this with the England senior setup. All they know is how to bludgeon people, and that doesn't work at senior level. Ooh. So they get left behind.
Everyone's got the same physiology. Everyone's strong. Everyone's quick.
Because those other players from other nations who've prioritised technical ability, they all bulk up anyway at some point, and they fill out, and that's that. You know, so it doesn't really need to be someone who's focused on development.
I do think that for the England under 21 job, it should be an English manager. But can you imagine the state of some pundits if a foreigner got that job?
Oh God! Oh, God. just have a blackout, media blackout.
Right, it's time for our Bet of the Week.
You want to have the Bet of the Week now, okay?
Yes, please, sir.
The Bet of the Week with Bet365 is a sending off in the Man United Liverpool game.
Yes.
You see where we're going with this?
Yeah.
We talked about Vidic. He got sent off a few times. Mm-hmm. He got sent off six times in his Premier League career. Three of those were against Liverpool in a row. That's a nice stat.
Remember the Steven Gerrard when he came on?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember
Bomb
that.
Off, see you later. That's his last one, wasn't it?
So we've got, there's a precedent been set. This is certainly possible. With Bet365, it's 3-1. So £50 on that. Return us £200, including our stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18, and please gamble responsibly. For more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. But look out for a sending off in the big game of the weekend.
Who would you guys hazard a guess at? I'd go with Fellaini.
Is he going to get a start, though?
No, I think he might need a start.
Get on late and just...
Rooney, if he still cares.
Let me rephrase that question. Is Fellaini going to get a minute? Because that's what he needs.
Could be all he needs, though.
Yeah, could
It'll
be.
Come at the end, give away a penalty, get sent off.
Do you know what I often think when I think about sendings off in games? I think the best sending off you can get is the... they've changed the rule a bit now, so it doesn't happen as often, but the old goalkeeper professional foul, because you never know, they've got a keeper on the bench.
Yep.
If they haven't got a keeper on the bench, you are in crazy town. You're having the best Sunday ever.
It's always not enough time, though, at the end. It's never like half the match.
I will not be satisfied. You're right. I will not be satisfied until an outfield player goes in goal in the first minute. Has that ever happened? That would be amazing if that's ever happened.
Milner said no. Milner's too professional to be sent off.
Which, does he play left back or right back, Mark? I can't remember.
He's definitely the fullback.
Is he? Yeah. Okay. Right. little Twitter joke for everyone there.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't need to explain it.
Sky Sports got it wrong.
Did they?
Yeah.
It's their fault.
Uh huh.
Don't shoot the messenger. Is that what you're saying?
In a way, I'm digging out one of the big boys.
In a way, I just wanted to stick with the party line.
Mr. Trump.
Now it's time to look ahead to the weekend.
Yes.
Our listeners. I'm ready for the weekend.
Probably get a jingle in there again, mate.
Not that.
Come on. Oh. That can't be every single... Biffy Clara getting rich off us.
We haven't got any money.
That's true, actually. We haven't got any money. Yeah. Listen, Biffy, if you're listening, come and get it. We've got nothing.
I'm on the ramble.
Yeah, we've got nothing to show for this endeavour.
It's Mr. Clara.
I introduced Biffy Clara on a stage at a church yesterday, Marcus.
They're named after Cliff's Biro, aren't they?
Yeah, they used to be called Cliff Richard's Biro. That became Cliffy Biro.
Is that true?
Apparently so, yeah. Anyway, I've been asking listeners what they're looking forward to about the weekend. As you can imagine, this is a bit of a running theme for me, so I'll keep it brief. A lot of it was terrible, but some of it is...
Stop having a call at the listeners, this is like Monday.
Some of it is passing muster.
Doesn't even acknowledge that.
No. So Claire Shepherd's been in touch. She said, this is probably for Marcus, really. It's the winter break in the Scottish Premiership. This is a pretty boring weekend ahead.
Yeah, right.
You'll be battling down the hatches, right?
I'm hibernating as well.
Winter break, really.
Right, yeah. What does that last for? That probably lasts from
3 months.
Probably lasts from like September to May.
Sun doesn't come up once.
No.
If you want to play in August, what a long pitch.
Having to go Arsenal, Scotland. The thing is, we haven't.
Hang on a minute. The Scottish, they're on the same island as us.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
I know.
Jury's out, Marcus. Yeah, let's have a battle about that.
The tropical southeast of England.
Speak to Mrs. Sturgeon about that, mate.
There's a big oil off in the Horn of Africa, so you know we could have another continent there.
Where's that come from?
What? The continents are breaking apart. We're not going to see it for 22 million years, but I'm getting in on the ground early.
Marcus Theobald. He's been
great
in touch.
Name.
He's
great name. Great name.
Nice to have a Marcus in there.
I'll be honest, I chose that because of his name.
Good.
I can't remember what he said. No, he said, I'm looking forward to matches being cancelled due to half an inch of snow.
Yay. It's crazy, isn't it? Just get the orange ball out, lads.
I know.
State of emergency.
This is one from Ali Clow. He says, I'm not looking forward to the weekend, but I'm looking back on this and I wanted to mention it. Morpeth played away to South Shields in the FA Vars. Morpeth were winning 4-2 with 6 minutes to go. The floodlights failed and the match was abandoned. After meeting with the FA, they decided the game should be replayed from the beginning. The replay was last night and South Shields won 4-0.
Is a stinker, isn't it? That is an absolute stinker.
What I would say is, I would be on your side here, Ali, and I'm sure the rest of the team would be too, but when we played live in Newcastle, quite a few South Shields players came along and were really nice, so I'm on their side.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Do you remember
when
Real Madrid had to replay like 6 minutes?
That's right.
Yeah. Or
but imagine replaying it from the beginning.
That's annoying.
It's outrageous. It's a knockout as well. FA Vars. It's like a cup competition.
Well, it is a cup competition.
Yeah. It's like a cup competition, as far as it is a cup competition.
Best of three.
Yeah. It's a vast competition, as Jim said.
This is a nice one, and I knew I could include this because I knew no one would come up with a joke this good. So I'm bigging up the listeners when they deserve it.
Right. Is this the one I sent in?
Kevin, no, it's not. It's from Darkus Mello. From Kevin Crows. He says, seeing Claude McAlealy as part of the Swansea staff is what I'm looking forward to this weekend. Rumour has it they offered it to someone else, but he just intercepted it.
Very good.
Yeah! Good. It's for everything.
For everything.
In a year's time, the whole show is just going to be that song. And I thought I would actually end on a nice tribute to Graham Taylor from a listener, George Young. I really liked this message he put on the Facebook page, so I wanted to share it with you all. He said, the opposite of a highlight today with the sad passing of Graham Taylor. We don't have many famous sons or daughters in Scunthorpe, and even fewer who we can be as proud of as Graham Taylor. His old man was a local paper sports reporter, and I had the privilege a few years ago of hearing Graham recounting how he used to go along to the old showground with his dad and help him identify players during the game. That speech was at a dinner held shortly after the streets had been named in honour of both his parents in Scunthorpe, and his pride was palpable. He never played for us, but he retained his links with the town, even though he made his name elsewhere. I always found him an incredibly decent and genuine man, one who will be much missed, at least in North Lincolnshire. Regardless of his successes and his failures as a manager, he deserves to be remembered as a fine man. The really heartfelt and raw tribute from Paul McGrath today says a lot about Graham Taylor. Rest in peace. And Paul McGrath said, I'm devastated to hear of Graham's sad passing. What a gentleman. In my darkest days, him and Rita were always there for me, so I thought we'd end on that one.
Very good.
And we don't have to end on that one, actually, because I've got something that includes Kevin Keegan.
Okay, all right.
Include that. this is taken from...
He's already gone.
This is from Ian Wilson, got in touch on Twitter and shared this with us, and I was going to not include it, but I think we probably should. keep it as upbeat as we can. He found this and cropped it from an interview with Graham Taylor, I think was done for a newspaper, and one of the questions was, I don't know why, probably because they're from the same part of town, this is so good. When did you first meet Kevin Keegan? And this is Graham Taylor's words. I played against him when he was 17. I was left back for Lincoln and he was playing for Scunthorpe. They were given a penalty and this young lad immediately picked the ball up and I thought, you're a confident little sod. But the penalty was saved and we won the game.
Every anecdote. I mean, it's hit rate for anecdotes.
It is relentless. It is relentless.
It's incredible.
Like a Man United centre-back and sent off every match.
He has achieved a hell of a lot in his career.
So much.
But every single story ends with him being hapless in some way or another.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Graham. Taylor for that anecdote.
Graham Taylor can spin a yarn as well. There we go.
Well, thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, ladies and gentlemen. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.